This is Jim Fester, your host on the Dynamic Duo with Kevin Bennett, where you can catch the Boy Wonder here on Mondays and Fridays, and I'm here the rest of the week. My special guest today is Judy Witt, a former professor of mechanical engineering at Clemson University. She has degrees in engineering mechanics, which is also known as applied physics, and in materials engineering science, and in structural engineering, which are all the disciplines most relevant to the understanding what happened at the World Trade Center. She has been a frequent guest on the show, and it's a pleasure to welcome her back. Judy, welcome back to the Dynamic Duo.
Thank you very much.
Sorry for that little mix. I noticed yesterday I had a little background noise, but today it was really quite something. Just a word or two about my guest yesterday. Christopher Brown had a theory about the score of the buildings, the building one and two, the north and south towers being made of concrete. And we got quite a bit of response to that, all of which was in disagreement with his thesis. I myself was moved to write, can you imagine what would happen to a quarter-mile high slab of concrete when the building swayed? I presume it would crack and crumble all over the place and become unstable almost before its construction was complete. So, I mean, I think that's really quite a ridiculous claim. He seemed to misrepresent the structure of the buildings, even omitting, you know, the 47 core columns. He was describing what was internal to the 47 core columns, about the elevator shafts and so forth, but seemed to be omitting the obvious when I pointed out that on page Roman 12, even of the 9/11 conspiracy, you can see there's another whole ring of heavier steel involved here. I received, negative messages from four or five of our listeners, and I presume you share that judgment.
I don't ever like to, attack somebody who's legitimately trying to research what happens. People have different perspectives, and we can weigh out however we want to weigh things out. I think it's important that we don't say, let's all get on the same page. Let's all play the unity card.
Right.
Because if we all have clones of each other, if that's all we have, we don't have a discussion.
Oh, Judy, of course, I agree completely with that, or I would not have had Chris and others on the show to discuss, their alternative points of view, because I believe in exploring them. I got an interesting piece from John McCarthy, who's in a position to know about the idea of C4 being used to prep the building for demolition in advance. He points out that it won't explode if set afire or shot with a bullet, that it has to have an explosive initiator, such as a blasting cap or detonator cord wrapped around the C4 in a manner that will initiate the explosion, where a detonator cord has a burn rate similar to C4 at 25,000 feet per second. Burning kerosene won't ignite C4, and of course that's jet airplane fuel. He observes that we used to heat C rations with a chunk of C4 always denting the can first, which would give us an indication that the ingredients were sufficiently heated before the can explodes. Bon appetit, he says. This guy has a sense of humor, but he's also a wonderfully knowledgeable source, and I look forward to having him back on the show again. In any case, it doesn't look as though Chris's thesis is likely to pan out. It's a real pleasure to have you back, and I know you've been working very much on your website and upgrading it in various respects. Would you like to take us to your most recent work and lead us through it?
Well, but continuing on about yesterday and these questions, I think it's excellent that you have people on the show that you don't necessarily agree with just to hear what they have to say.
Yes.
And that is a real scientist when they hear the other side of the story and aren't afraid to. And then you can discuss it afterwards and pros and cons of whatever. But also hearing the other side of the coin that you may necessarily oppose, it might give you ideas. And that's the beauty of all of this, is figuring out different things that trigger other ideas.
Oh, I agree completely, Judy. We're on the same page for sure.
And I don't think it's necessary to determine exactly, what the cross-section looked like of the towers, what exactly the blueprints are. Just looking at the all the images, you could have some fragment ones in there, but there's thousands and thousands of images I've looked through. You see steel. You don't see concrete. And also, if you're going to make a tall skyscraper, and these were the tallest at the time when they were built.
Yes, they were. They were the world's tallest buildings when they were constructed.
It's important to realize what you need to make a tall skyscraper. What is the limiting feature for the height? It's looking at the strength-to-weight ratio. If it's super heavy, you know, the taller it gets, it's going to get heavier and heavier. And at some point, you can no longer, it's all trying to hold the weight above it rather than having any space to live in. So there's a limiting feature of skyscrapers is the strength-to-weight ratio of the ingredients.
Well, I can see, you know, horizontal flooring material and all that being poured in on top of the trusses and so forth, but the idea of having massive vertical,
That's talking about the strength-to-weight ratio.
Yeah.
If you have a little bridge that goes over a creek for the highway, that's only one or two stories tall. So that's not an issue. But if you have something 110 stories tall, you start having to really worry about the strength-to-weight ratio. That is why the cross-section was tapered with height, because it doesn't have to hold as much the higher up you get.
Yes, yes.
Rather than making it uniform on every single floor, because then that's too much weight.
Yeah, oh, good, yes, yes. You cut down on the stress being imposed on the lower floors. Yeah, good.
So if you make it out of a material that is weaker and heavier, that doesn't make sense.
Well, even if you think of a concrete silo, I mean, it's not swaying in the wind. I mean, it seems to me if that core had been concrete and it was a quarter mile high, it would have been crumbling and cracking all over the place before it was even completely constructed.
With every gust of wind, concrete is not that flexible. So what the towers were designed, I understand, for a Category 5 hurricane.
Yeah.
And they're designed to sway in the breeze. Like, that's what I say about my analogy with trees. The trees are designed to sway in the breeze. And the towers were, too. They weren't intended to be rigid. So concrete is a rigid material. It doesn't give and take and bend easily. So that's another reason. But if you made it out of concrete, it would be too heavy to hold its own weight at 110 stories.
So to even hold its own weight, yeah, okay, much less that of the rest of the building.
That's what I'm talking about, the strength-to-weight ratio.
Yes.
You need twice as much weight for the same strength. The point of diminishing returns is hit a lot sooner with concrete than it is with...
Excellent.
So that's the beauty of skyscrapers. They have to be made out of stronger and lighter material. And the same with airplanes. You don't make concrete airplanes. It's the
you have a gift for comparisons, Judy, I must say.
But as a civil engineering undergraduate, I know about concrete canoes.
And concrete canoes, yes, okay. Listen, stand by. We'll be right back with my special guest, Judy Wood. This is Jim Fetzer, your host on the Dynamic Duo. Today, my special guest once again is Judy Wood, former professor of mechanical engineering at Clemson University, and in my opinion, the most highly qualified scientist doing studies of the events of 9/11, in particular in relation to the destruction of the World Trade Center. Judy, during the break, I noticed that we had both received a message from Total Information, a rather fascinating suggestion here that the antenna on the top of the World Trade Center, that was, of course, the North Tower, which is made of silicon carbide, also used as a drill bit in microwave drills, could possibly have had something to do with the construction. I'm not asking you to appraise that, but I just think it's a rather intriguing suggestion. Of course, there was no such antenna on the South Tower.
Right. There's a picture on one of my dirt pages where a bolt of lightning is hitting the tower.
Yeah.
And obviously, that radio tower, I mean, I'm talking about the antenna of the tower, that radio antenna is designed to deal with that.
Right, function as a lightning rod, yes.
So you can imagine it was designed to take that kind of zap.
Yes.
But there's various properties within it, and it, of course it's well grounded. I recently, I think it was yesterday, saw a picture of it that had some cylindrical-looking... steel pieces at each of the angles of the facets of it. It was like an octagonal cross section.
Yes.
In each intersection of one of those straight faces, there's a cylindrical steel rod that is just utterly rusted out. And I thought that was pretty interesting.
As some of our listeners may not know, parts of the antenna survived and are stored with other chunks of material from the destruction of the World Trade Center in this hangar. I think it's number 17 at JFK Airport.
Right, and and folks often say, "Well, why did it survive?" It was made out of a particular material that is designed to withstand certain things, different than the building is made out of. So,
yes.
I think the important thing is that it's different material.
Yes, 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 yes. Well, tell us, what would you like to start today?
Well, I put some things on my webpage. I even during the break, I posted up a link to the ASCE concrete canoe competition section. So those interested in it.
Tell us what web address we should use. What URL should we use?
DrJudyWood.com. That's DrJudyWood.com.
Right.
No one's in there.
That's enough for the opener?
Okay. In there, I have some links to other things.
Okay, I'm there.
And it'll tell you where to go from there. I've just started putting up Dirt 5, which will include some of the WTC 7 page, which is a temporary one I put up before for when we talked another time.
Should we go to Dirt 5?
Yeah, go to Dirt 5. That's the second link down. It's right below the concrete canoe link.
I'm there.
And let's see.
This lathering up is the first topic.
Right. I'm just getting it organized. I spend a lot of effort in sourcing the photos and making sure I have all the links correct and so forth.
Uh-huh.
So that stuff is in there. But each of the pictures, I have now their thumbnail-type sizes. So
yeah.
Instead of the big thing just shrunken down so the page should load faster. But if you want to see the big picture, you just click on it, and it should spring out a bigger picture.
Right.
In detail. But what is interesting is these are Amon's pictures, and it's just a beautiful job that he did in getting all of these pictures in sequence. But what's interesting to note is just watching what happens. Here we have the buildings sitting there with stuff coming out the top. You call it smoke or whatever you want to call it. But there's something else happening.
On the sides of the buildings.
Right. Like, look at picture 10.
10.
Yeah, that's the
okay.
Second. Figure 2, I guess I have it numbered. And if you look at it, the south face, which is on the right, of the south tower, which is on the right, has a lot of this... fuzzy blobs, I call them.
Yes.
Remember, I have these odd names so that we don't bias the phenomenon we're looking at.
By presuming the interpretation of what it really is, yes.
We call it smoke. We're presuming an interpretation. We're presuming.
Right. That's exactly right.
And we don't know what it is. So it's fuzzy stuff that comes out of the side of the building.
Now, you're talking about the photo called Figure 2 here as opposed to Figure 10, which is well down. That's in the fourth series.
The Figure 2, which is Picture 10. I'll try to refer to the figure number.
Yeah, just use the figure number, right.
Okay, Figure 2. On
yeah.
The side of the right building, which is Tower 2, the south side's on the right, you see this whitish kind of fuzzy stuff on the side of the building. Kind of interesting. And you notice on the left-hand building, which is Tower 1, identified by the radio
antenna, yep.
You notice also out of the south face is this whitish stuff coming out.
Yeah, it's interesting that in both cases it's on the south face.
Correct. It's downwind of the smoke, or the smoke screen. Kind of interesting. And then go a few pictures later, and becomes interesting, like picture figure 4.
Yes.
On the right-hand side, when you make an enlargement, you see downtown Manhattan, and it looks kind of foggy and hazy.
Yes.
That's kind of interesting. No building has quote, collapsed yet. Why do you have fog downtown? It's a clear day. And in Rick Siegel's video, we saw this smoke or whatever folks want to call it, this white stuff coming up from the base of the buildings before anything happened, before the buildings, quote, collapsed, before the buildings were destroyed, around Building 6, we saw the fuming starting. And that becomes pretty interesting as to what's going on. So if we look at, let's see, go down to Figure 8 and click on that one and make an enlargement.
Okay.
Look at southern Manhattan. It's really getting, you know, foggy. It's fuming.
Yeah, it really is. I've opened it up. Yeah, it's like haze. It's like smog in Los Angeles. Stand by. We'll be right back with my special guest, Judy Wood. This is Jim Fetzer, your host on the Dynamic Duo. Today, my special guest, once again, former professor of mechanical engineering at Clemson University, Judy Wood. We're on her website at drjudywood.com, and if you go there, click on Dirt 5, the page Dirt 5, and we're looking at a series of photographs of the North and the South Tower, and we're exploring different aspects of the sequence as it develops. Judy?
I'll repeat the website, drjudywood.com, and when you get there, there's in the top of the yellow box news section, there's a listing for today's show. That's where the link to Dirt 5 is. It's a new page, so that's the only place where it's linked. But you can go to one of the other Dirt pages and then change whatever number it is to 5, and that'll be the email address. We're looking at Figure 8. You click on that figure, you get an enlargement. And if you look off to the right, you see that southern Manhattan is mighty foggy.
Yes. Right. I was comparing it to smog in Los Angeles.
Right. So I call that fuming. When you have stuff coming up, we don't know what it is. It looks like fumes coming up of some sort.
Yes.
Why is southern Manhattan fuming when you don't have any destroyed buildings yet?
Yes.
And as we looked at that earlier picture, figure 4, the fuming isn't nearly as strong. So it was built... And these are all in time sequence, in chronological order. Another thing we notice in this photograph is the south face of Tower 1. That's the one with the radio antenna. There's two, I call them seams, in the building. But the building is built in thirds, and they're mechanical floors. And
yes.
Tower 1, you'll notice there's a fuzzy blob.
At the top of the first mechanical floor of the North Tower.
Right. What's that doing way down there?
That's very interesting, very peculiar.
And if you start noticing the south face of the south tower from the second mechanical floor, from the second seam on up, you start noticing, the western face facing us, this stuff.
Yes, at the second mechanical floor on the way up. Wow.
This isn't a fire. Fire produces haze like that. White haze. If a fire is oxygen starved, you'd expect black something coming out, not white. And if we look down a little bit further, let's look at figure 10. Click on that one, it enlarges. You'll notice a fuzzy blob. That's what I call this when it's this fuzzy stuff that's stuck to something.
Right.
As defined on page 1 of the Dirt series, that you see these fuzzy stuff that looks like it's this attack cloud that goes and eats things.
Yeah.
And this kind of reminds you of that. Why is it coming out of the second mechanical floor?
Yes.
And then you notice out of the north face of the south tower, on the left side of the right-hand tower, higher up, you have little things coming out.
Yes.
And you see other things happening in the north tower. It just starts building. It's interesting to see how it builds. And then figure 20, you look at that.
I just can't see any way any of this could be explained on the government's official account. I mean, it's just complete rubbish, of course. We know that, but here's just dramatic evidence.
And it can't be explained by, firecrackers. That's what I call dynamite.
Thermite or thermite certainly can't explain this.
Yeah, right. This is a long-term, something happening. Whenever you find what it is something is happening and preparing the building.
How about number 12? Is that what you want?
Go to 14. Click on
14. Okay.
And the thing is that it keeps... I didn't know about putting all these pictures out there, but you can see the sequence in time. How it's
happening.
And here, the building is really looking furry.
It is.
and look at the north face of the South Tower. These little skinny little black thingies coming out are darker. Also, when you have a fire putting out, you know, poofing out smoke, it's pretty continuous. It doesn't blow intermittently. Why do we have segmented clouds? If you look on the south face of the South Tower, that fuzzy stuff you see coming out of the mechanical floor on upward, the right
yeah.
side of it is sort of rippled, kind of like a colon, you know?
Yeah.
It's segmented.
Yeah.
Would smoke from a fire do that?
It's kind of lumpy is what you're saying, yes.
Yes, it's like a string of sausages, kind of. It's got this segmented look to it.
Uh-huh.
And if you look at the radio tower on the north tower,
yeah.
the smoke or whatever, the cloud coming out of it after that, on the left hand or the top side closest to the antenna, it's also that segmented lumpy look.
Yeah.
This isn't like a continuous fire that's just kind of smoldering away. You can understand how it might get a little bit lumpy, you know, with air currents way downstream, you know, miles away, but not as it's coming out. And then if we look at, what's the next one good to look at? 18. Let's try 18.
Okay.
See how it's progressing. And we
18.
In the North Tower, it now has got these floors that are glowing, but there's not much smoke coming out.
Yes.
And then the South Tower has, more of this fuzzy stuff coming out. We don't see any red fires, but we have this black haze. Now, we do know that they would need to do the towers differently. If one is the first one, we'll get to that later, but if it's the first one, people are watching it more. You can't have Tower 2 being injured by something else having fallen on it. That argument doesn't work because it's the first one. So you can't say something fell on it, and that's what that damages that you see.
You can't have the North Tower.
Right. If the South Tower, that one on the right, is the first one to get destroyed, you can't use the excuse something else fell on it and damaged it.
Yes.
That causes damage that is progressive.
But everyone knowing that the North Tower was hit first and had a fire burning longer would think if anything's going to happen here, it would happen with the North Tower first.
Yep. It's peculiar. Now, go to the yellow box picture. It's figure 21.
Okay.
That's what I call silly string. It's another phenomenon we see, and it's coming out of the second mechanical floor, the upper seam of the North Tower.
Mm-hmm.
It looks like silly string got squirted out the mechanical floor.
Yes.
What would that be from?
Very peculiar.
Did somebody, shoot something out there? Or, why? And look how much further down it is from what's happening up above.
Yeah, that's the mechanical floor, as you observe.
Yeah, the mechanical floor seemed to have more action, so we're noting that. And we continue on down, and let's see.
Just for the sake of any in our audience who may be unaware, I mean, these two towers, 110 stories, were roughly the equivalent of having three 40-story buildings put together. And where the top 40 floors connect, you have these mechanical floors, and where the next 40 floors down, you have these mechanical floors.
And you have elevators that go locally within each of those zones, so you don't have, the guy on the 50th floor doesn't have to wait for the elevator to go all the way to the 110th and all the way down to the first floor to come back.
Right, that's right. So there's an elaborate series of elevators that are zigzag in essence that you can't get all the way up and down with the exception of perhaps two elevators, I think, in each building would go the full extent of the building.
Okay.
Stand by. We'll be right back with my special guest, Judy Wood. This is Jim Fetzer, your host on the Dynamic Duo. My special guest today, once again, is Judy Wood, former professor of mechanical engineering at Clemson University, and we're visiting her website, drjudywood.com. And Judy, would you like to fill in the details? Accessing the website you want, page 5, dirt 5.
If you come into the front page of the website, go down below the two rows of pictures, you'll see the yellow news section. And on the right-hand side, it has relevant links for today's show, and you'll see a Dirt 5.
Terrific. Now, we're looking at a series of photographs about the gradual destruction of the North and the South Tower.
Or the preparation, we're just looking at what it is telling us. We're trying not to make assumptions.
Right.
And that is the key here. It's amazing how many folks try to say that Judy Wynn has wild speculation, no evidence. No, it's the inverse.
That's right. You got a mass of evidence and very few speculations. That's a nice point, Judy. It's really the opposite.
Right. But folks, the first thing they hear is what they remember. But let's look at the evidence here. And looking at the evidence in Figure 22, you click on 22, you can see how things are progressing towards what's inevitable. According to this, it's inevitable, yeah, with what was really going on. And on the right-hand building, that's Tower 2, the South Tower, on the left side of it, you see a lot of interesting little intermittent black stuff coming out of it.
We're on photo 22, figure 22?
Figure 22.
Figure 23 looks very comparable there, too.
Okay, I'm happy looking at 22, and on the left side, the fact that you see little, like a pattern in the black stuff coming out.
Yeah.
I'm not going to say smoke, we don't know what it is, but it's not fire. Fire is either on, off, gradually, you know, shades of gray in between. It's not zigzagging around like a network. This is something else that seems like that it's being deliberately released. And if you look on the south face of the North Tower, that's a left-hand building up near the top underneath the black cloud. You see little skinny black things sticking out? Little skinny black, like a stick or something. It's...
You mean below the ring of fire?
No, up near the very top.
Above the ring of fire, those three like spouts of fire or whatever, smoke, whatever it is.
Okay, on Tower 1, that's the left-hand tower.
Right.
On the right-hand side, if you go up the very edge of the building, up until you run into a black cloud that kind of curves over.
Yeah.
Black thingy, kind of like a hose sticking out of it. Does that look like a normal fire?
Yeah, strange.
And if you look down the face of that building, all down the southern face of the North Tower, you get this haze, this fuming. The North Tower is fuming. Kind of weird. And then the left-hand side of the South Tower, that along that edge, you can see little different things coming out of different windows, little skinny black thingies. And so this
is
like a normal fire. Okay, now we're going to go to figure 26.
Okay, figure 26.
And see how it's progressing.
Yeah.
It looks
I'm
like
there.
Things are looking different there. Look at the south face of the South Tower. The right side. There's not much smoke out there. We're getting ready to, demolish the building. We're moving up to that time. And there's not a whole lot, of... smoke and fire, we don't see any evidence of that. Click on 28. That's the last one before the demise.
Look, 28.
Yeah, look how furry the right-hand face is of the South Tower.
Yes.
Very furry.
Yes. Like quite a huge increase in the dimensions of furriness.
Right. All of a sudden. And then look at the next picture, figure 29.
Yes.
So figure 28 was just moments before that. And there's that helicopter making a run for it. That appears in Rick Siegel's videos.
He's got
various helicopters going around. And you know that when something's about to happen, they all make a run for it. Leave the scene.
God, what a picture.
So then the thing goes poof. But what is interesting is what happens after that. Remember we saw various things happening with the North Tower, the fuming.
Yes.
If we look at that set of figures, it's in purple, below there. We see that Tower 1 goes poof, it goes away, and the cloud rolls out. But then we notice that the North Tower starts lathering up. It gets the stuff shooting out. Click on figure 52.
52?
Yep, 52.
Okay.
What do you see in that on the south face of the North Tower?
huge fuming all over the place.
I call that lathering up.
Uh-huh.
You know, lathering up with soap suds or whatnot.
Yep.
They're trying to, I believe, it's like they instantly turned up the knob for making this happen.
Once they had the obfuscation provided by the demolition of the South Tower.
Correct. And there's a way you can argue that it's not the South Tower is cloud rolling out and rolling up the side of the building, because that black stuff at the top would be getting pushed upward. But it's not. The stuff is coming out of the North Tower, out of like every single window or every single orifice the whole way up the side.
It's just so tragic what's taking place here, Jenny.
Look at the picture just before that, figure 51. We don't have much coming out of the tower at all. It's like they
Yeah. What a dramatic difference.
It's like they cranked up the knob. And then it got to a point where they cranked it back down again. Look at figure, let's call it figure 2. I'll go to the picture numbers that are up in the upper side. So light blue, it says WTC-62.
I think you're better off just staying with the figure numbers. We're used to that.
I forgot to get the numbers into these. So they're all figure 2. It's a
They're all figure 2?
Down at this point, below the green.
Okay, is that where you want us to go down, below the green? Yeah, okay. Okay, I got it. Yeah, okay.
WTC-62 picture.
Right. You want to see the, which happens to be figure 2.
Right. Is there
okay.
I overlooked that. But if you look at the south face of that north tower, they just cranked back.
It's all clean.
Just instantly. It stopped.
Well, it's so damn strange, Judy. What in God's name is going on there?
Yeah, it's you see blue sky out the other
side. It's like a rail stat, man. It's like you're turning up the light and then you're turning down the light. That's weird.
Yeah. So is there at least a chemical in the building that was to soften it up? And my speculation, working theory at this point, what it looks like is, okay, did it get put out through the air ventilation system? If you could really fill up the building with a chemical gas pretty quickly, maybe it's odorless, but when it hits steel, it starts spitting out this lathering up image. So maybe they don't see it in the building. Or maybe at that moment they cut off communication so people can't report it. But that looks pretty strange to suddenly have this stuff squirting out of every window. And then if you go down a little bit, there's a figure, well, it's a WTC-68. It's a gray box.
Yeah.
And click on that one. I call this smoke rings. It looks like the building is spitting out smoke rings on the south face.
Yeah.
The intermittent little cloud stuff.
The fire almost looks like the eye of a face, and then you're doing, putting out the smoke rings through some sort of mouth.
And that's before the building goes poof.
This is very close to the moment in which its demolition commences.
Right.
Stand by. We'll be right back with my special guest, Judy Wood. This is Jim Fetzer, your host. You're listening to The Dynamic Duo. This is Jim Fetzer, your host on The Dynamic Duo with Kevin Barrett, where you can catch the Boy Wonder here on Mondays and Fridays, and I'm here Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. Today, my special guest is, again, Judy Wood, who has degrees in civil engineering, in engineering mechanics, and in materials engineering science, and we're going through recent work of hers on her website at drjudywood.com, and we're going through the page called Dirt 5. And Judy, would you like to elaborate on how to find it?
You go to the home page at the front, and below the two rows of pictures, you'll see the big yellow box that says News at the top, and it has today's show listed, and on the right side it has the relevant links for today's show. And in there, there's a Dirt 5 link. Select that one.
Perfect. And we've been going through a rather extensive set of photographs showing the stages in prepping and demolishing the North and the South Tower. The South Tower has just gone poof, and the North Tower is on the verge.
And we noticed how after the South Tower went poof, it's like there was a knob that got cranked up for this lathering up that was pouring out of the building. And then it got to a point where they cranked the knot back.
Really stunning.
It doesn't match a natural process, and you wonder what that was all about.
In figure 51, 52, 53, 54, 55, you can see it's cranked way up. 56, 57, maybe it's been shut down because you see much less than 57, 58, 59, 60. By the time you get to 60, or figure 2, which was 62, it's clear it's been cranked down. And 63, very obviously, it's not on at all. Oh. Is that what you'd like to pick up?
Yeah, and there's some pictures of what's happening down on the ground in the two to the right of that, the 64 and 65.
Yeah.
And these may be the ones where you could see a little bit of WTC-3 in there. A little bit of shadow in there, but that's not quite as important to look at. But going back to the series, now down to 66 and 67.
Yes.
That's like impending doom. 68 is the last picture before it goes poof. 68, you see that the black, I call them smoke rings, that are pouring out. And now, 69 is where it goes poof. But what's interesting is those little fingers sticking up where it goes poof. Like looking at 70.
Oh, 69. Yeah, this is a very dramatic photograph.
It's interesting how there's these columns that stick out. And especially 71. That is the most dramatic.
71. Oh, you've referred to this as the Fingers of God photograph.
Somebody else, I guess, is calling it that. I just say there's these, columns sticking out. And you have to wonder why you have these discrete columns.
Yeah, it's very peculiar. As though they have discrete energy sources.
But also, you can estimate what the diameter of those are.
Mm-hmm.
And it's about the diameter of the hole in the street, those little cylindrical holes in Building 6.
Uh-huh.
And so then you start... Yeah, okay, we're just still taking in the data, but it is mighty suspicious.
Good.
And we continue on, and you see the famous spire picture, which is the core columns that are remaining.
Yes.
72, 73, and 74. What's interesting, go ahead and click on 72 and get an enlargement of it, and you will notice the corner of the core, which is being referred to as the spire,
yes,
is lathering up.
Yes.
And that lathering up is a lot like what I call the Alka-Seltzer effect, or the shade stream. It looks like every altitude, it's spewing out the same consistency of
fumes.
Yeah, more than fumes, it's ejecting.
Yes.
It's energetically ejecting it. But it looks like it's shooting it down at a 45-degree angle. 73 is even a better diagram of that. And you can see clearly it's like it's really energetically shooting out that lathering up stuff.
Hmm.
And then that goes poof. And the last two pictures on the page, WTC-1 pictures.
Yeah.
From the other side, I'll be adding more from this other site.
Yeah.
It's at figure 26.
Vast amount of fuming on that first one.
That is a beautiful picture. It's, it really,
I don't think anyone's ever really noticed all of these phenomena, Judy. I think you're the only one who has.
They're from different sources. These ones in the blue box here at the bottom are a different source than Amon's.
Mm-hmm.
That's why I say I think it's important to have different sources so that you can compare.
Mm-hmm.
And it looks like it's coming out of every window or every nook and cranny out that entire face.
Yes.
And
that seems to me much more informative than the next one, actually.
But this one has another phenomenon it's demonstrating. So after they crank back the knob, that's what we're temporarily
calling
it, you don't have any more pouring out that side. But I call these smoke rings. If you click on that second picture...
Well, if they can adjust it by tuning the knob, Judy, they really had complete control over what was taking place.
And if you click on it, you can see that it's like somebody blowing smoke rings. This was the picture where I start calling it that phenomenon. I start calling it smoke rings.
Yeah, but one or two smoke rings there, pretty distinctive.
And that's not what a normal fire does. It does it intermittently puff. And those are little something is getting kicked on or kicked off. Something's going on there. Yeah, there's another series that goes with that continues on with this, but it appears that the building is being prepared for its demise. Now, I don't have a link directly to it, but if you go back to the homepage,
there's
a link that goes back there, and then click on the WTC7 link. Oh, whoops.
Not GERT 6, you want WTC7.
Yeah, the link didn't work for some reason. Go to GERT 4.
GERT 4.
I think we can get to it from there.
Okay.
And go to the very bottom of GERT 4. And
it's still opening for me.
Okay.
Slowly.
Okay, those last two pictures on GERT 4, the next to last has a beautiful picture of that lightning bolt I was referring to, that hitting the North Tower. So you know that tower is well-grounded.
taking forever to open.
There's so many pictures in there. But you don't need the pictures to load if you just scroll to the bottom.
Well, I think I'm there now.
Okay, and below that picture where the guy in the white shirt, hiking out the bridge. And in the middle of the page, it says next.
Just a second. You want me to go to the bottom, right?
Yeah, the very bottom, and then right below the last...
Oh, yeah, the guy in the white shirt coming across the bridge, yeah.
Right below the guy in the white shirt, there's something that says next.
Continue to next page. Hit that one.
Yeah, that takes you to the page seven. We looked at...
I'm there. All right, we're now on page seven. Stand by. We'll be right back with my special guest, Judy Wood. This is Jim Fetzer, your host on the Dynamic Duo. Today, my special guest once again is Judy Wood, former professor of mechanical engineering at Clemson University. We're discussing her recent research on the destruction of the World Trade Center, and we're on her website at drjudywood.com. And, Judy, maybe you can explain again how to get to the page we're on.
The problem is WTC, the folder, it needs to be lowercase, and it keeps reverting to uppercase for some reason. And that link, I haven't figured out why it's doing that.
But as you say, if we go to dirt 4, was it, and then go to the bottom of the page?
Yeah, there's a link there. I'm going to try one more thing. It's just to hardwire it in there.
I'm at a WTC7 temp now at the top of this page, but of course I'm on page 7, so.
Right. So you have the correct one. Hopefully it's going to work now, but if people go to the front page now, and under today's show, under the yellow box section.
Yes.
Yeah, you click on WTC7. And that should take you there.
Good.
And so we're looking down from the top of WTC7, down like figure 4.
Yes.
And look way down there in the alley, like figure 6. You get a little, a few streets down there, a few lanes in that street. Can you imagine that building is going to collapse down and not spill out into that street?
That's ridiculous. That's a huge building. If it weren't surrounded by 210-story buildings, it would be a most imposing edifice.
And look at figure 7. You see the alley on the left side?
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't spill across the street there. And the postal building, which is on the right, doesn't get anything hit in it. That
anyone could imagine in their wildest dreams this was anything than a controlled demolition is beyond me.
Well, it's controlled, but it's not a traditional controlled demolition. It's made to make you think it is, I believe.
Well, of course, when I use the word controlled demolition, I mean it's a demolition that was under control. It was being done deliberately and systematically, and that's most certainly the case. I agree with you that there's a you're exploring the possibility it wasn't even a classic controlled demolition, but it's certainly a demolition that appears to be from the bottom. You see all the floors moving at the same time. It's a complete abrupt and total collapse at the rate of free fall, as you well know.
And it accelerates at the rate of the acceleration of gravity, the roof line. And so it's
completely lacking any resistance beneath it.
Yep. And we go down to figure 8, you see the after picture. You know, no damage to the adjacent buildings, and it just really didn't go out into the street. And if we look at figure 10, you can see that's before building 7 goes away. It's down there on the right. And then figure 11, that's taken the next day, we see it didn't even cross the street. We're looking south. We see building 7 crumpled up down the end of the street.
Yeah. So, no, it's right behind the bus. That's part of Building 7 there, immediately behind the bus, so the burned-out bus in Figure 10?
Yeah. And if you go to Figure 11, they have the bus all squashed down and stacked up on the right. All the toasted cars are neatly stacked, so you don't really, you know, question them.
Uh-huh.
They don't look weird anymore because they're just crumpled up over there. But look how clean the street is immediately, but also look all the way through to Building 5 on the other side of, you know, way down the street.
Uh-huh.
Building 7 didn't even spill out across the street. It just spilled out a lane or two.
Yes, yes.
And we saw in that picture above, those lanes are way down there. How could it come straight down without spilling out into the street?
This is so elaborate, Judy, so elaborate.
And if you look at the purple frame, figure 13,
yeah,
that's looking down the other side. The next street over. One thing that got my thinking going, look at the far right. There's some guys in blue suits way in the distance.
Yep.
Guys in white suits. Look between those two guys at that elevation. You have a big dirt pile. Why do you have dirt there?
Oh, between the guys in the blue and the blue and the white and the guys in the white, there's a dirt pile there. Yep.
It's a mound of dirt.
That's amazing that that's already there.
Overnight, it disappeared. And look at the next picture at figure 14. You see water squirting out of the Verizon building on the right onto the pile, right about where those guys were standing.
Yeah.
You don't see any, quote, smoke coming from there.
No.
Wherever it gets wetted down, you don't see fumes. And it's not like it's putting out fire. Okay, we continue down. Figure 18, that's nice dirt. The Dagwood sandwich.
Yeah, you'd think that was all inside the building before it disappeared, before it collapsed. I mean, that's weird.
And figure 19 and 20, yeah, nice dirt there. And 21,
it's not quite the high quality we see in other cases where it could almost be potting soil.
Correct. And I kind of wonder if they're bringing it in from a landfill.
Yes, I think that's highly probable.
Then it would contain building trash, you know, like pens.
Yeah, that's true. It would contaminate the scene.
It would look like it was normal debris.
Yeah.
And figure 21.
Yeah, that's true. It would look as though it was normal debris because there was building trash there, as though it belonged there.
Yeah, office trash. In 21, figure 21, you notice between the two yellow parts of that crane, you see in the pile white fuming.
Yes.
White venting.
Yes.
Looks very familiar, doesn't it?
Indeed.
And that pile has gotten taller.
It most certainly has. You see how people who, you know, pick and choose their evidence can make it look as though there was a much bigger monster pile than in fact was the case immediately after the demolition of this building by just picking their evidence.
Even WTC-3... that little stub that's left over next to WTC-2?
Yeah.
The pile gets bigger next to that as time goes several weeks. The ground zero, the pile has been diminished for quite a while. They got bigger.
At figure 22, you got more dirt.
Yeah, that's beautiful dirt. It looks pretty wet stuff. And then now we're going to look at the lathering up.
Okay, stand by. We'll be right back with my special guest, Judy Wood. This is Jim Fetzer, your host on The Dynamic Duo. Our guest today is Dr. Judy Wood, and I think that today is a wonderful illustration of why I have described her website as the most important research website devoted to 9/11. Judy, please continue.
I've fixed the link on the front page, so if folks want to get to page 7, they go to my front page, go to the yellow box, the link for today's show, and it's the link for WTC7. And we're down at what's called figure 26 and 27, the blue boxes, that sort of picking up where we left off talking about the lathering up page.
Yes, okay, the blue boxes. I see them. Really lathering on 26, man. That looks like getting ready for a shave.
Right, it's very lathered up. And notice the black stuff at the top. Remember, earlier I was noticing this two-tone color. I didn't know what it meant.
Yeah.
We understand what it means.
Tell me.
It's two different processes.
Uh-huh, of course.
The smoke rings are different than the lathering up. And that stuff at the top that looks like, you know, smoke from a fire, that it is different than the lathering.
Yes.
And then figure 27, again, we have those, what I call smoke rings.
Right.
Out. Even the black smoke coming out of the top right-hand corner, the underside of it looks, you know, segmented like a colon. Little, you know, lumps in it.
Yes.
Now we get to the good part. The purple frame below, figure 28 and 29.
Yes.
That's WTC7.
Yes, and this is why you think it's not a classic controlled demolition. There are all the signs of the lathering up process going on here, too.
Right. And does it look like the lathering up?
Oh, yes. Particularly figure 29.
Right, and it's coming out of every orifice. It's not something that's puffing up the side of the building. It's something that's coming out. How it looks like at figure 30... Yeah, we really see it pouring out. That was soon after one of the towers went poof. They cranked the top. And figure 31, we're looking right down the street, right after Tower 1 went poof, and we see all this fuming, looming over the ground below, and then coming out of the building, you see it shooting out. Figure 33, again, we see, you know, another shot of it. Now, we're to figure 34 and 35, at the corner of Church and Reed. That's several blocks north of Church and Murray and Chambers and so forth. This is when we saw Tower 1 lathering up, right after.
Yes, yes.
This is at that same time. Look down below.
So there's some prep on Building 7 already.
And supposedly Building 7 was damaged by the demise of Tower 1. Tower 1 hasn't gone down yet. It hasn't gone away yet. Why is Building 7 lathering up when Tower 1 hasn't damaged it yet?
You know, people could look at these pictures all day long and not see what you saw, Judy. I mean, it just is a benefit of expertise, you know, somebody who knows what to look for. It's why experts are so important.
There's things I've noticed in pictures earlier, but I didn't know why, you know, why it got to me. And then later it comes back, and now that the more you absorb about, you know, these anomalies. But yeah, here we have Tower 1 lathering up and Tower 7's lathering up.
Yes.
The full altitude. Go down to figure 36.
Right.
That's that picture on West Street looking north at Building 7, and I believe it's just before noon by the shadows on the ground.
Boy, this and the next one are really stunning photographs.
The next two, the 37, 38,
yeah,
is lathering up.
I mean, it's just huge. It's just huge. I mean, you know, how could anyone miss it except, you know, I don't believe it was being shown on television at all. You know, it was being ignored.
Right. I tried to collect as many lathering up pictures as I could find. And, you know, this is not smoke from a fire. It doesn't come out uniformly on every single orifice of the building. And this is immediately after Tower 1's demise. 37 is later in the day because of the shadows.
And look at the totality of the devastation. And those who claim, you know, that there were big piles from Tower 1 and 2, this is a nice refutation right there.
Right, 36 It's like,
yeah, 36, yeah.
And if you took that picture, you know, several hours earlier, you would have a building in your way. Number one would be interfering your view of Building 7.
Yes.
But you don't see much of it there.
You certainly don't.
That little pile that you see on the right in the distance?
Yeah.
That gets bigger the next day in the there's a audio recording I have on the Dirt 3 page that with Rudy Giuliani the very next morning after 9/11.
Yeah.
The 120 dump trucks.
Yeah. Well, I can't say how important figures like 36 are in relation to some of those who have attacked you. One name comes to mind who has been particularly vicious and who has really distorted the evidence, because this is a stunning photograph that substantiates so many of your claims.
That brings us to the last topic I'd like to discuss. And if you go back to the front page.
Yes.
I have a little blue box within the list of stuff for today's show.
When you say front page, is it homepage?
My homepage, drjudywood.com.
Okay, I'm going there. Yes.
And right below the WTC7. There's a wonderful link there to somebody's blog. It says, "What is organized gang stalking?"
I need to find it.
It's in the yellow news box.
Yellow news box, yes, yes, yes.
It's the highest up.
Yes.
I see I have the shows interchanged, which shows which. There's a little thin blue box within the thing on the right.
Yes. What is organized gang stalking? Yes.
Click on that one.
All right.
And that takes you to Kathy's blog.
All right.
And she's been looking into this issue of gang stalking, and she's seen what's been going on with me.
Good.
And
good.
And that this is, an organized effort paid by, whomever, and there's some other links I have on my front page that show, like, who funds this kind of thing and how it's organized. And all it's sort of funny when you start looking at the wild things they do. Like how before when I was scheduled to talk on your show.
Yes.
But all lose my internet connection then.
You lost your internet connection?
Yeah, and then it would come back and it would go away. Come back and go away. In the past, during your show, and it was only during your show, and then there's that show that you canceled when you had Lauren Moray on.
Yes.
Apparently, the stalkers didn't get the word, and they disconnected me for that show.
That's pretty striking evidence, Judy.
But then what Kathy does is looking at the various forums. There's this obsessive gobbledygook that folks are trying to find every little detail about my life.
Yes.
And about Michael Zeber's life.
Yes.
Like, why? Sending emails to my former department chair and colleagues in the department.
Yes.
Michael's former advisor.
Yes. Stand by. We'll be right back with my special guest, Dr. Judy Wood. This is Jim Fetzer, your host on the Dynamic Duo. My special guest today is former professor of mechanical engineering at Clemson University, Dr. Judy Wood, and we're on her website. Actually, we're visiting another website of Kathy Palmer. Would you like to explain how to get there?
From my homepage and listing for today's show, I have the two shows in reverse here, but it's the first listing. There's several links on the right side. Go to the one in the little blue box within the other. It says, what is organized gang stalking?
Yes, and this seems to be a rather interesting site. And I notice a link there on the right, Judy. It says 9/11 issues with Dr. Judy Wood.
Right, this person does a lot of research, and they just happened upon my site. And they also noticed these other interesting things about this gang stalking business, and it's becoming a real issue, and there's new laws being passed in various states on this. There's anti-stalking laws in every state, but there's different levels to how seriously they take it. But
and this includes electronic stalking.
Correct. various types of stalking and harassment. And this seems like it's a new up-and-coming crime type thing. But she noticed the fact that I've been so targeted. I wasn't aware of these various forums and so forth, but these characters,
targeted individuals? The ones who are the stalkers?
Infiltrate.
Yes.
And then they start spewing out all sorts of garbage about somebody.
SIs, stalker infiltrators.
And they go on and on and on, and either these people are real mental cases or they're paid ops. I don't think there's any other options there. We're talking about the amount of typing of text that I can't do that much typing in a day.
We're talking about teams. We're talking about organized staff, so they have whole units that are conducting these operations.
It's pretty interesting what all they do, but the bottom line is, what better validation do I have?
Yes. If you really were a crackpot, Judy, why would they bother?
And you see how much junk is out there. They're fighting it with this information warfare business.
Do you want to go on to the 9/11 issues with Dr. Judy Woodside or not?
Back there. It's interesting. Kathy has this video, and then when you get to the end of it, you can choose other ones in that series to become more aware of the monkey business that goes on. Once you're aware of the monkey business, you can laugh at it. It just, that's what that is, and you identify.
It's so blatant once you understand the pattern.
It's like, the deal with people were sending me emails, and remember they're all bouncing, and you were having that too?
Yeah.
You couldn't send them to me. And you call them on it, and then it stops. And they start doing something else. But it's just meant to interfere, or my power going off. During the show every week.
Electronic harassment.
And it turns out that there are directed energy weapons. That this is a very, very large group. It's thought that it's funded by corporations. But if they call this also cause stalking, and the most popular, well-known form of cause stalking is bombing of abortion clinics. It's very organized, and it's all over the place. It isn't like there's a single leader. It's a very kind of tricky procedure, but I feel honored. What better validation what I'm talking about, that they have no other way of fighting it.
Yes. They can't cope with it intellectually, so they have to resort to sneaky, nasty, tricky, deceptive, cheating means.
But like the Greg Jenkins video.
Yeah.
Which is it's an obvious stalking type piece.
Yes.
What does it say about the quote truth movement? Is that to show what wonderful people are in the truth movement? What's the purpose of it?
I worry that people can be taken in by rubbish like that. It's very disappointing. It's as though, we have to run a national educational campaign to inform people about what's going on.
It's our whole educational system where people don't think. They just want to, they have so much to do. They just want to fill in the blank, memorize, regurgitate. What's the answer? Tell me the answer. And that's something I've tried really hard to do with my research, is not tell people the answer, but to show them how to figure it out for themselves.
We have about 5 minutes left. I'd like for you to, carry on with whatever you'd like to do by way of bringing things to a conclusion.
If you look down the latest updates about the formal challenges to the official story, the RFCs and so forth.
Oh, you want to go back from this page now?
Well, yeah, I'm back on my homepage and looking down just, new links I put on the formal challenges to the official stories.
Oh, yes, quite elaborate now.
And if you look below where it says RFC NC Star 1 and related documents, just below there it says NIST response letter. I've got up here a response I got from NIST about my RFC. They cannot dismiss it, and they appear to be taking it seriously, and they need more time to figure out how to deal with it.
That's pretty fascinating, Judy. It sounds like there might be a few honest people there yet.
Not necessarily, but
they just don't know what to say about it that's not going to embarrass them or that you're not going to be able to use against them.
maybe they have to contract out, you know, to the
state. Yeah, outsource, right, whoever handled this. They got to track them down.
When they designed 9/11, what they're going to do, you bet more effort went into the cover-up design.
Yeah.
Than the actual crime.
I believe this.
And they haven't figured out how to deal with the RFC part of it yet. That's why they need more time, I think. But it's nice to know they're taking it seriously.
And yeah, but they're acknowledging as much, yes.
And I also have some items below there, like when we contacted the Energy Directorate's office asking if directed energy weapons were used on 9/11. They could not deny that they were used on 9/11. That was interesting. That's also in this section. The response from...
The RFC NASCAR 1 and related documents. That's what we're talking about.
Below there, this is still in the front.
Oh, the response letter from Catherine Fletcher, yes.
Yeah, two below there is the one from Rich Garcia.
Oh, response from Rich Garcia, yes, 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 I see them.
And it's like they're pleading the Fifth Amendment, you know? It's like they can't go there.
They had Harriet Myers, huh? Harriet Myers doesn't even show up.
It's pretty interesting what these developments are. And it's nice to know there's some sort of honesty rather than we don't have to answer you. I mean, that's when you have a total dictatorship.
May I infer, Judy, by the way, that you will be going into a great deal of these subjects during the conference here in Madison from the 3rd to the 5th of August, and that anyone who's interested in, you know, meeting you and discussing your research might want to consider attending the conference.
Yes, that'd be great.
And they can find the program and other information about it on 911scholars.org. You'll find a whole description. We have 12 stellar speakers, really covering a vast array of subjects. The topic has been broadened to the science and the politics of 9/11, what's controversial and what's not. And I can't think of a stronger reason for coming than to become more familiar with the work of my special guest today.
And I've got a little link right here on the front page at ICON.
Terrific, Judy. I appreciate it. I appreciate your coming on. I look forward to having you back again. Terrific, terrific. This is Jim Fetzer, your host. You've been listening to The Dynamic Duo.